from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, Bob and Paul, here we are. We are at Acrisure Stadium. It's the Pittsburgh Public Schools backpack drive here, and cars are lining up now to come through Gold Lot 1A, donating various items, notably backpacks, to ensure a good school year ahead. And I told you I would have a question for you, and I asked the question, and I'm assuming that all three of you, and I'll include City Limits in this because he is so nice, I'm assuming all three of you have formulated an answer. Let me introduce the contestants here. The question is, which one of these men will have more touchdown passes from this day forward to the end of their career? This day forward. Introducing Josh Dobbs, 29 years old. He has 13 touchdowns in 13 games over the past two seasons for two different teams. He appears to be the 49ers' backup. Mason Rudolph, 29 years old. He had three touchdowns in four games last season, Paul. The other night he was 10 of 17 for 125 yards and a touchdown, led the game-winning drive for the Titans, competing with Malik Willis for the backup job behind Levis and Butthead. Mitchell Trubisky, 29 years old, 12 games as a Steeler, 10 touchdowns. He appears to, he is the backup to Josh Allen. We saw how horrible he still is. Russell Wilson, however old he is, I forgot, 26 touchdowns last season, but a lot of people around the league see him just sort of hanging on here by a thread. No financial commitment. What would the market be if it goes south here? You could see the end coming quickly. I still believe in Russell, but not 100%, and you could see the end coming quickly. Justin Fields, 25 years old, 33 touchdown passes in 28 games with the Bears, and these are only touchdown passes, not runs. So these are your contestants, Bob and Paul. Josh Dobbs, Mason Rudolph, Kenneth Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. I failed to mention, I did mention Pickett. Here's some of the social media reaction to Kenny Pickett's latest performance in Philly, where, again, he now may have fallen behind one Tanner McKee. Eagles fan central. If you're a Steeler fan and had to spend your last 2 years convincing yourself Kenny Pickett could be a franchise quarterback, you may be entitled to financial compensation. That's number one. I mean, this Bob. This is a disaster. Every single Kenny Pickett pass went short of the sticks. Yep. The other night. People are saying stuff like that. So I'll ask you the question, Bob. Which one of those guys has the most touchdown passes from here to the end of their career?
So I'm going to go with what to me is an easy answer, and that would be Justin Fields. He's younger. If they allow him to get into games, if he gets into games, I think, and I'm not factoring interceptions because that was one of his problems. I mean, you're just asking for touchdowns. He has the most likely shot,
yes,
given where he is. Russell Wilson's just going to be 36 in a month or two, where in November I think it is. I don't know how much he has left, so I'm not going to go in that direction, although he probably will jump out to the lead. And the rest of the guys are not in good situations to actually get in and play and make those sizable contributions.
I don't know about that.
Well, who are you
how
talking
about? Mason
about?
Rudolph?
I don't know. I like Mason Rudolph. But
Butthead out there?
Yes, I think they do. I mean, we'll see. But the one thing that seems to be, you're going to go with the younger guy, Fields, going to go with the guy who may have opportunities here, more so than these other guys to me, is Justin Fields, Paul.
I just so I understand it correctly, this is for from this point to the rest of their career or just this year?
This point to the
career.
Rest of their career.
Justin Fields is absolutely the right answer. In fact, I'll go even this far. I'm going to say Justin Fields has more than all of the rest of those guys combined.
Holy horse milk.
Because I think Russell Wilson.
But you don't like Fields that much.
Right, but
so where is he going to play? Who's he going to play for?
He's 24 years old. He's going to find a couple of more opportunities to start here and there. I think Russell Wilson will throw 25 touchdowns this year, and then he'll be done as a player. So the bar is 25 touchdowns. I mean, Pickett and all those other guys, I don't know if they'll ever play another meaningful down.
All right. I think that if there's an injury in San Francisco, that Josh Dobbs is very capable. By the way, and I think Mason Rudolph might be. What if he turns out to be the best of all these quarterbacks?
That would
after
be hilarious.
Well, he was last year for the Steelers. I mean, he's the guy who was in there when they won three in a row, get to the playoffs. So,
what would be hilarious is if the 49ers, if Purdy gets hurt in week one and Josh Dobbs leads the 49ers to the Super Bowl and Mason Rudolph leads them to the the Titans. Yeah, the Titans versus the 49ers. Dobbs against Mason Rudolph.
Oh, how about Kenny Pickett, though? I'm watching these rookie quarterbacks, you guys. I'm watching Bo Nix, who looks unbelievable. Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. Did you see the highlights of the plays he made?
Yes.
The Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett as their franchise quarterback, and I was fooled for a while. A lot of us were. I always point to Ben. Forget about me. I think Ben is a pretty good judge of quarterbacks, and Ben is an honest guy. For God's sakes, he admitted he was rooting against Kenny when he got here. He also, on his podcast, does not necessarily pull punches when he's critiquing Steeler quarterbacks. He said at the end of Kenny's first year that Kenny is better than I thought he was. So Kenny fooled Ben, too. He fooled a lot of us. But my God, I'm watching these quarterbacks, these rookies, and I'm thinking, the Steelers put all their eggs in the Kenny Pickett basket. He never made a play like that. His whole career, some of the plays, preseason or anywhere, that I saw Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels make in the last 2 days.
Right.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
What a disaster, Paul. They basically forfeited 2 years of T.J. Watt and Cam's career.
Yeah, well, again, I think part of it is
and Minka.
They needed a quarterback. And for better or worse, and I think we're finding out for much worse, Pickett was probably the best of the lot except for Brock Purdy, who nobody else liked. But look at the rest of the guys that were drafted in that.
I know.
In that group.
I know.
Desmond Ritter, is he a starter anywhere? I don't even know. Is he still with Atlanta?
No, that whole draft class was a complete joke.
Desmond Ritter was so good, they went out and blown out Achilles. They gave out blown out Achilles Kirk Cousins $200 million or whatever
they
gave him.
Right. So, but
my point is, they wanted to make sure that they got the quarterback, and they felt like he was the best one, and they felt like, you know what, a franchise quarterback is worth a first-round pick. I actually can't kill them for that because at the time most people said, well, he is the best one. I said at the time they probably could have waited to the second round and still got him. But I understand what they were thinking. They wanted to get a quarterback that they felt like was able to be a franchise guy. But if you look at that group, though, Desmond Ritter, this Malik Willis. Who else was in that
group? Sam Howell, who I think could still be good.
Sam Howell might actually be the best.
Yeah, where is he in Seattle now?
I can kill him for it. Yep. I can. And that was Tomlin's decision. Absolutely Mike Tomlin's decision. With all the power that he has in that franchise, it wasn't like out the doors. By the way, Mike, for the rest of your career, I'm going to saddle you with Kenny Pickett. They get paid a lot of money to make right decisions on players. Well, and the Pickett decision wasn't just wrong. I could see him being out of football at some point, the way things are going
for
him.
The way they evaluated it was terrible.
It was a franchise-crushing decision. Yeah. But either way, whether you want to crush them for it or not, it happens in the context of, are they judging these quarterbacks correctly? Like, I don't see how anybody can't question the Steelers' judgment on quarterbacks, offensive linemen, you know what I mean? At this point, Mike Tomlin's judgment in general on personnel. Like, I think Mike Tomlin is a good coach. I think that's just a fact. I don't even think it's an opinion. I think where he's gotten himself, where he's hurt himself and the franchise, is in his involvement, heavy involvement in the draft and in hiring assistant coaches.
Well, I think the assistant coach right now that people are really focused on is Pat Meyer, the offensive line coach. I mean, he's been given a lot of talent. What is he doing with it? That's a very fair question, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator to me is Mike Tomlin anyway. So, and Terrell Austin's a good coach. He's a smart coach. He knows what he's doing. But I think you're right about, especially on the offensive side of the ball, some of the coaches that they've made, that they've hired, I think, have been amateur hour in some ways. Matt Canada being number one of them.
To keep him, to double and triple down on. But let me ask you this.
To me, the offensive line coach is the one who should be in the crosshairs right now because he's been handed a lot of talent, and it doesn't look like he's done much with it.
Well, I think we can all agree on this, Bob, no matter our thoughts then, now, and in between, is the drafting of Kenny Pickett was an all-time Steelers franchise blunder, an all-time draft disaster. Everybody agree?
Yes, because of where it was. And, again, we could sit here and say, well, at the time it looked good, but our job is not to actually pull,
I mean, Jones looked good, too.
Well, ding, 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 the Steelers have just acquired a player from the San Francisco 49ers. No, not Brandon Ayuk. It is a linebacker, Kaiava Tezino.
Let's plan the parade, Bob.
I wonder if this has anything to do with Peyton Williams. Only because I, you know, he's the only guy I thought he had a concussion. At least they were looking at a concussion.
Peyton Wilson. Yeah.
What did I say, Williams? Peyton Wilson. Anyway, this kid here is from San Diego State. He played in the USFL. I don't know what the reason behind it is. So, just wanted to throw that in. Just because when I saw San Francisco player coming to Pittsburgh, I said, uh-oh.
How did they phrase it in the tweet? The Niners and Steelers?
One of them was like, okay, the Steelers have picked up a player off the Niners. I'm thinking, oh, who's that? And then I looked and it's this guy I've never heard of, actually. So
yes, an all-time franchise disaster. And I'm not sure that Mike Greenberg isn't right when he said, are we all sure that Fields and Wilson are better than the two guys they had last year? I hope so. I think so. But man, I don't think that was like an outlandish statement by him at all. Do you, Bob?
No, only because, again, you'd have to look back and say, well, both of these guys have a resume. Russell Wilson is right there in Hall of Fame conversation with 9 Pro Bowls and what he did in Seattle, winning a Super Bowl and all of that. It's just that, yeah, we're at a stage of his career where he, he hasn't put. Last year, the numbers look good, but again, there was something missing there. The year before was not very good, and Seattle decided to trade him the year before that. So until we see it, we're not sure people don't know which Russell Wilson are getting. As far as Justin Fields, why did no one want him, given all the elaborate talent that he has and the fact that everyone on national media was talking about how wonderful this guy can be in a better system? Only a 6th-round pick. So I think there are questions. They can answer all of those questions by playing well when they get an opportunity. So I can understand what he said. I hope that's not the case, because if that is the case, then they're going to have to go through this whole process all over again.
Paul, what do you make of the demise of Pickett to the point now where I'm not kidding when I say it almost looks like he's going to be out of football in like a year if this keeps up. Tanner McKee is going to beat him out maybe?
Is it a demise? Or is he just who he is?
Well, to go from first round 20th overall Heisman winner to out of the league in 3 years would be
from that standpoint, yes, I would absolutely say it's a demise. But to me, I mean, it's just a case of this is who he is. I mean, he's not that good of an NFL quarterback. He was a really good football player for Pitt, you know, in his final year. I think a lot of things aligned for him to have that kind of season. Obviously, Pitt had literally four eighth-year guys on their offensive line. They had Jordan Addison. They had a bunch of guys. I mean, that team was, you know what I mean? That's not to take away anything that, you know, from what he did, but my point is everything aligned well for him that year to have the kind of year he did. I'm just saying, do we really think he's that, you know, are we surprised?
Yes. Last year at this time, I had him as a rising top 10 quarterback in the league. Yes, I'm surprised.
But that was based on what?
It was based on all the things that we saw in the offseason, the preseason, the fact that he finished the previous season with two great wins, I thought, on late drives. I was wrong, by the way. So was Ben. So was most other people.
My point about
but if you would have told me then that he would be a backup by now, I don't think I would have been stunned. But if you would have told me he would be the third-string quarterback for the Eagles behind Tanner McKee after basically quitting on the Steelers, which is the way a lot of people look at it, it's the nature of the story that I'm shocked by, really.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean, that's something you'd have to really think long and hard of a quicker descent in terms of where people had this guy in terms of, wow, this is great, not hometown kid, but kid that played at Pitt. What a great story. He's in the same stadium. The fan base is here. He's going to be there were people saying he's going to, like, reconcile the debt from them not drafting Dan Marino because they got the next great pick
reconcile
guy.
Is the perfect word.
But
yes.
My point is all of that turned out to be in a year and a half. It went to complete disaster.
Bob, would you like to say anything on that?
Can you think of another player who's
no?
Well, I just think
the way it went, I can't.
Again, the hesitation in the pocket, the willingness to leave the pocket and spin away limits his vision. All those passes were underneath, and his numbers again look good, but numbers can be deceiving. The one number that stands out is 5.2 yards per catch. That's not good. You can't operate like that on a full-time basis in the NFL because sooner or later you're going to have a negative play and then you're going to have to be required to throw the ball from the pocket down the field. And he hasn't done that on a regular basis.
The nature of his demise. The one thing that we all thought Kenny Pickett has was he's a leader.
Yeah, a competitor. Right.
He's got the intangibles. That's actually more than his play what got him out of here.
I'll give you one similar thing. Matt Murray with the Penguins.
Mm.
Two-time Stanley Cup champ to a guy who, like, lost his job, what, a year later? Or maybe a year and a half later or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not only they got rid of Fleury, they felt so good about this guy, right?
Unbelievable.
And he's – I couldn't even tell you who he plays for right now. Who's it?
I don't remember. It's either Ottawa or Toronto.
He's with Toronto now, but okay, he's – yeah. Okay. I don't know.
But I'm just saying, he went where, you know, there was a point there when literally, and I know this because, you know, every so often, allegedly, I might bet on games. I would bet on Ottawa every night he played goalie because he was giving up like 5-6 goals a night.
Yeah. That's good betting.
That's about as far down of a fall as you can have.
And it happened quickly. Bob, would you like to play a game of big deal, small deal, no deal? I know it's your favorite game.
I love all your games, Joe. Yes.
And you have a showdown coming up at the top of the hour. We have a big pirate story that I'm saving for 12:25, and I'm very, well, not excited. It's there's going to be a lot of opinion, let's put it that way. Big deal, small deal, no deal. Are you ready, Paul?
Yes.
Are you ready, Bob?
Yes.
The Jaylen Warren injury. Bob first.
Small deal.
Paul?
Small deal.
Huge deal. And I didn't even have that as one of the categories. This team has to get off to a great start this season because the schedule is just a gauntlet the second half of the year. And Atlanta needs to be a win, and this dude needs to play. And it looks like he may not play in that game. When I see hamstring injury for a running back, man, I think of a lot of players. none of whom I can think of right now, unfortunately, who have been hampered for entire seasons with such injuries because the word run is in his position. Multiple weeks on account of this. I think it's a big deal. I think both of you couldn't be more wrong, Bob.
But the only thing is he has time here until they play a game. Even if he misses one game, you know, we don't know that at this point. Yeah, I agree with you. Hamstrings are difficult, especially for a running back. But I also know that he can come back from it. And if he does, then it's a small deal.
Big deal, small deal, no deal, Paul. The Broderick Jones disaster.
I think that's a huge deal. Because if he's not good or he's unhealthy, then this whole season goes to hell.
Yes, Bob? Big deal. Absolutely big deal.
Are we writing off, and maybe this is the case, it almost is like Key Brian Hayes here. Are we just saying that the injury caused this the other day? I mean, like I said, Greg Russo is not exactly Bruce Smith. He had 5 sacks last year in 16 games. He has 17 in his whole career.
But they like him a lot, and they picked up his option. They're working on a long-term deal. They believe he's just starting.
He shouldn't be throwing around your first.
No, I agree with that, but you make it sound like he's some sort of – he is a guy they're counting on, so it's not like he's just chopped liver in there. But, yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
I mean, he had 5 sacks. He shouldn't be throwing around your tackle.
No, I agree.
Are we writing this off to injury, or is there something profoundly – is this guy – is this guy just not going to be good? I mean, that's how concerned I was the other night.
Yeah.
He just got thrown around? Is it the injury?
I hope so.
Man, I hope so.
I hope so. I think we all hope so. It's a lot easier to explain something away if it's an injury situation.
Bob, he struggled badly against the Bills in a playoff game last year, too. I hope we're not trending in that direction. I'm not going to go there yet, but that was a big deal.
That would be difficult, especially if he, you know, being another number one pick. He has to be not only good at left tackle, he has to be among the elite at left tackle.
I mean, these Steeler draft picks on the offensive line are incredible, aren't they? They draft a guard out of Illinois and make him a center. They draft a left tackle 2 years in a row and make them both right tackles.
But again, you look at what Broderick Jones did when he went elsewhere. I'm not Broderick Jones. Kevin Dotson.
And Kevin Dotson.
Kevin Dotson did what he went elsewhere, right? I mean.
And wasn't that because he didn't play the side
right.
that he played in college?
Yeah, exactly.
Bob, what are they doing? If they draft somebody, what are they going to do next? Draft a quarterback and make him their punter? If you draft somebody, have them play the position that you drafted them at.
But both of the guys they've drafted in back-to-back years at number one are both left tackles.
Exactly, and they're both right tackles.
Yeah,
right
that's the problem here. At some point, you know, when they're healthy, you got to make way, and Dan Moore has to become an insurance policy, which I think he's best suited for us, a guy who can come in if need be.
This is mind-boggling. It really is, to the point where I don't even know what the next question was. The Beanie Bishop injury, big deal, small deal, no deal. Bob?
I'd like to know the extent of it before I answer, but I would say it's a small deal. Only because I think they have people who can be there in that role, although he's been very good. But I would say at this point, small deal.
Paul?
I would say between small and medium deal. I mean, it could be a bigger deal. Right now, I'll say the upper part of a small deal.
All right. The new kickoff.
Ugh.
Generally speaking, is this a big deal, small deal, or no deal in terms of its impact on the games? Paul, the new kickoff. The new kickoff sucks.
I'm going to say less than a small deal.
Yeah.
I don't think it has any impact. I mean, I've watched enough preseason games now, and I keep hearing people say, well, they're not showing all the things they're going to do with it. Okay. How many different ways can you do it?
Bob?
Yeah, I would say it is a bad idea that has proven to be one in the short term here. And I think what you'll see ultimately is guys just kicking in the end zone and say, we don't want to play this game. Take the ball to 30.
I'd pull a Gary Bettman right now and scrap it.
They might. They might do it because they have in the
middle of season.
They have an owner's meeting coming up at the end of this month, and they could very well, it's not about this, but they could very well say, maybe we're not going to do this.
You know what? It's horrible. Here's what I would say at that meeting. This is stupid. We're confusing our fans. We're going to spend an inordinate amount of time looking at this idiotic kickoff. We tried to make it seem like we care about players, like this is a player safety issue, when We really don't, and we all know that, right, since we're also at the same time arguing for an 18th game. Let's just get rid of this. All it is confusion. It's a controversy, officiating controversy, waiting to happen because it's 11 more things that our officials have to worry about. Let's scrap it. Let's just scrap it. That's what I would do. All right, next, Bob, the receiver situation behind Pickens. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
Big deal. Still remains a big deal. I mean, somebody's got to have to clamp in on that, and I've seen good and bad from a lot of these guys, but I want to see not just good but excellent stuff to compliment George Pickens, and so far haven't seen
who's
that.
The Pirate Parrot. How are you, sir? Or ma'am? I'm not sure who's in there. Does he talk?
They don't talk, no.
They don't talk.
When did that become a rule? Does the San Diego Chicken talk?
I have no idea.
Have you met
pierogies don't talk either.
How are you? That's not going to make for good radio because they don't talk.
No, they don't
have
talk.
Have you ever met the Pirate Parrot?
No, well, I've met many different versions of the Pirate Parrot over the years.
They just shook hands. Over the years. Paul and the Parrot.
Yes.
Bob, have you met the Parrot? Is there just one?
Oh, no.
You can't communicate verbally.
Joe, you'll love this.
One Parrot. Hold on. Let me ask the Parrot a question, Bob. There's just one? You're the only Parrot? Okay. Because I think the Steeler, what's his name? Is he still around?
Yes.
Who's the Steeler mascot? Steely McBeam.
Steely.
Is there like three Steely McBeams? He doesn't know, or she doesn't know. Go ahead, Bob.
So I'm going to tell you, you're a golfer. The Pirate Parrot can hit the crap out of the ball in uniform.
Are you a good golfer? Pirate Parrot, he says yes.
Yes,
or
I've seen it.
Yes.
I've seen it long distance with the drive, even in the Parrot regalia.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. What were we talking about there? Thank you, Parrot, and have a wonderful day. I'm glad you're here. You look great. Do you agree, Paul?
He looks wonderful all the time. I love the outfit, you know, and he makes people happy.
He does. Or she does. I don't know who's in there. Bob, where were we? Oh, the receiver situation. Go ahead.
No, I did. I answered it. So, Paul, what do you think?
Big deal. Paul, big deal, small deal, no deal.
I kind of forgot about it now because of the...
The receiver situation behind Pickens.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
I'm writing about that today, and then I think that this flight's a fantasy that these guys are. You know, they have a quarterback problem. They also have a receiver problem. They got one guy that can get open.
Does the con artist ever do anything wrong in people's minds, Bob? Because all I ever see is what a genius he is, then I look at their last two draft picks, and then I look at them not getting Brandon Ayuk so far and being left with Van Jefferson and a bunch of guys.
Hammering him for the receiver position for a year now.
Good.
So, yes, good. In my mind, he's done a lot of good things, but at receiver, he has not done anything. He's not done it right.
I think he's a little bit overpraised in this town, Bob. I don't know if either of these two quarterbacks are any good. Their last two first-round draft picks are still to be proven. And, again, neither one of them is playing their position. We'll see, right? We'll see on Patrick Queen. It's not like everything he does works.
No, and I think maybe if he had to do it all over again, he would not have traded Deontay Johnson so quickly.
Yes.
That, to me, was kind of a rush to a judgment, but it weakened your wide receiving core when you didn't have a plan B to bring somebody in.
No, not that, Bob.
But you
not
could have used
that.
Him as the asset to get Brandon Ayuk. That's the one thing that San Francisco has wanted from all of these teams is a wide receiver in return. He would have been perfect for that situation. So trade him. Who would you rather have, Dante Jackson or Ayuk, if Deontay Johnson was still here? I think that's a legitimate thing.
Thank you, Bob. And also, it wasn't like Allen Robinson became a star here. I'm also not sure about or was even, you know, productive. He was never going to be a star. I get it. But the Allen Robinson move, not a good one. Larry Ogunjobi, we'll see if he's worth that contract.
He was good the other night, right? I will say that.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Okay. I know. Patrick Peterson, I don't think that turned out to be a grade A move. You know, I just think that Omar is a little bit overpraised. I want to see how some of these things turn out, you know?
True, but I think he's done a good job of at least, you know, getting personnel.
He's trying. That's what I like about him.
And he's
willing to take some swings.
He's been creative in what he does. He's been, you know, I think that's all you can ask is somebody that goes out and does the job and gets the job done.
Well, I can ask that he makes right moves and wins a playoff game.
That too, right. But, I mean, I think overall his ledger is more positive to this point than negative. But –
Are we sure about that?
At the end of the day, well, it's only been 2 years.
I know.
A year and a half or 2 years.
I know, but these are the Steelers, but and you
now,
win every year.
But now I think that we have to start to see the fruits of it in terms of playoff wins and all that kind of stuff. Because ultimately that's how a general manager is going to be. That's ultimately how the general manager is going to be judged.
Right.
Is he building teams that win?
All right. Coming up is Bob's showdown at the top of the hour. An entire nation is looking forward to this, Bob. And I know you have some special things planned. And we also have a big pirate story. In fact, there's two of them brewing right now that we're going to get into after the showdown. But there's also some other pirate issues that we need to get into. And also some NFL issues. Let's take a little trip around the NFL real quick next, because there's lots of things going on. We could even call it a wheel of ball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Very heartened to see long lines of cars coming through here at Acrisure Stadium, Pittsburgh Public Schools Backpack Drive. Also, people dropping off cases of bottled water, things such as that, and tons of people driving through, which is awesome to see. Paul Zeiss and I just had a nice little meal, didn't we? Little rigatoni, little steak cubes. Those things were unbelievable, Paul.
What's the name of that place?
Yeah, we need to find out the name of that place.
I think it's,
wherever it was, yes. It was miraculous. Cornelius, can you check on that?
Find out the name of that place.
All right.
That brought the food down. The food was good.
Bob Pompiani back in the studio. And what a nice man he is.
No Bob. Food for me.
That's okay,
vending,
Bob.
Hey, the vending machine might work today. Who knows?
No, I don't
try
go there.
It out.
You've discouraged me, Paul. You've discouraged me from going there.
I got a couple quick NFL questions before we get to Bob's showdown top of the hour. Who is going to be the best rookie quarterback if the choices are Bo Nix, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams? I got a feeling this might be a good quarterback class. I like Drake May better than most. Caleb Williams made two plays last night. I don't care if it's in my backyard. I don't care if it's preseason. They were ridiculous what he did. Who's going to have the best year out of those guys, Bob?
Well, that's a good question. It could be a very could be opposite of the class that we saw a couple of years ago with Pickett and everyone else in that one, Malik Willis. So I'm going to say it's going to be Bo Nix, but I think that Drake May is probably a guy who is going to do better than people think, because he doesn't have a full cabinet of stuff at his disposal, but he will make some things happen. But I'll say it's going to be Bo Nix.
And it looks like Bo Nix will be the starter, and he's been running around doing some special things.
He's had good numbers.
Yeah, and some of the highlights will just – and again, I compare it to Pickett, even though he had a great preseason last year. It's like not even the same people. So, Paul, Bo Nix, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or Caleb Williams, who has the best rookie year?
I think it's going to be very competitive for this. I think they're all going to be reasonably good.
Yeah.
I don't think Drake May has a lot of to work with up there. I'm gonna probably go Captain Obvious here, and I think Caleb Williams. I think there's a reason he was the number one pick. He's got a lot of talent. I'm not a huge fan. I think he's a little bit of a goofball, and I don't know that he's 100%, you know, dialed in and loves football as much as he needs to, but. I think his talent is what it is, and I also think he's going to have, you know, the opportunity to make a lot of plays. So I'll go with him.
I think it might be Jaden Daniels. I think it might be him, and he has a very good receiver in Terry McLaurin. He also has Jahan Dotson. He's got an interesting new coach in Dan Quinn, and Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator there. I'm intrigued by this Jaden Daniels thing. I think all four of those guys have a chance to be good, although I agree with Paul that New England, I think the weaponry there is really, really going to hurt Drake May. I'm going with Jaden Daniels, Bob. I think that's pretty interesting with Cliff Kingsbury running the offense there.
So nobody took Caleb Williams, and he was the number one overall, so we'll see. I mean, only, you know, what are we going to know until we see it actually play out? But I think they're all potentially can be very good quarterbacks in this league.
So do I. And what I really think will happen is it's going to be Caleb Williams and Daniels sort of head-to-head here, almost like it was with, remember, RG3 and Andrew Luck had that great rookie of the year race?
Yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels intrigues me a lot. I guess I need to see more from him.
Yeah, nobody's played a game. So.
I mean, he's somebody. How about the kid from Washington? Michael Penix, whatever his name is.
Where is he? He's out in Atlanta.
Yeah.
If Kirk Cousins is compromised,
I find it weird that they have said that he doesn't need to play the rest of the preseason.
Is that what they said?
That's what the coach said the other
Maybe
day.
Maybe they want – I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Here's my question. A, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you have him play – unless you're trying to make sure he's healthy, but if you're trying to make – I don't understand exactly what's going on with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, here's the other question I have for you fine gentlemen. And that is, which of the NFL's new coaches – is going to have the best season? Here we go. Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers, Mike McDonald with the Seahawks, Dave Canales with the Panthers, Raheem Morris with the Falcons, Antonio Pierce with the Raiders, Brian Callahan with the Titans. As I read this, it's ridiculous how often teams change coaches. Gerard Mayo with the Patriots, and Dan Quinn with the Commanders. So Quinn, Mayo, Callahan, Pierce, Raheem Morris, Canales, Harbaugh, or McDonald. Bob, please, which head coach flourishes?
I'm going to go with Raheem Morris because I think down in Atlanta, they have a guy in Kirk Cousins who can light up a scoreboard, and their defense, by making some of the moves with Matthew Judon, with Simmons recently to go along with what they have, is going to be good enough to prevent as many points against versus what Cousins and his offense will put up on the board. So I'm going to say Raheem Morris.
Paul?
Well, I think – what are we doing here? What are we doing here? What are you doing? This guy. I was going to say, before I was so rudely interrupted, I was going to say are we saying best year in terms of improving the team from last year or best year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think just the best year.
Because, I mean, I think Canales, didn't they have one win last year, Carolina?
Yeah.
I think they'll probably win five or six games, which would be an improvement of four, five, six games. You know what I mean? Four or five wins. But I think, honestly, if we're judging on best I think of all those guys, the guy that has the best chance to make the playoffs is Harbaugh. I mean, he's, say whatever you want to say, but he's got an incredible quarterback, and that's a big place to start. The way they're going to play offense is a lot like the Steelers in terms of they're going to try and play big and physical and protect their quarterback. And I think that their defense, he's you know, that's sort of how his teams have played.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. What they do, what Jim Harbaugh does is not really pretty. It's not really all that, you know, sexy. It's really not all that exciting. But it's just really good, fundamentally sound football. And that's what they do. They don't beat themselves. They don't make mistakes. And the bottom line is, I think there's a ceiling to how good you can be if you play that way, but I also think there's a floor, especially when you have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So I'll say Harbaugh just because I think that team probably has the best chance of all those teams to make the playoffs.
I'm going to say Dan Quinn, the guy I just said. I think Cliff Kingsbury was a great hire. I think that Daniels is going to be a good quarterback, and I think they're going to be way better. I do. I like Dan Quinn. Who's going to be the worst of them, Bob? I hate to disagree with Paul. I think Harbaugh has a chance to be successful in a year or two, but this first year I think is going to be miserable for him. They have no receivers, and Herbert was in a walking boot. So I'm not sure. I think he might be the biggest flop year one. How about you?
The biggest flop. So that's going to be tough. I'm going to go against what Paul said. I think Canales is – I don't like what they have down there at all, and I think they're just going to struggle again to get – even a couple of wins, so I'm gonna pick him.
Paul, who's the biggest flop of these guys this year?
If we're just saying who's gonna have the worst record or whose team,
Mayo.
I'm not Mayo.
That's gonna be rough.
When you look at that team, there's nothing to like about that team.
Yeah.
They don't have great running
backs. Drake May's the only thing to like about it.
And he's a rookie quarterback who's there's a lot of questions about. They don't have a ton of great playmakers. On defense, they just got rid of their best defensive player, probably. I mean, I don't know. What are you excited about if you're a Patriots fan right now?
Not much, but I am excited about Bob's showdown, which is up next. And then we're going to hit a couple of big Pirate stories. Really big, actually. We probably shouldn't have waited this long to hit on them, but we will, Bob. It's called Building the Tension. That's an old radio strategy.
But I may have some of your topics in my showdown just because it's hard to avoid.
I have to ask you to avoid pirate topics.
No, then unless, I can't. You just destroyed my entire planning here.
Isn't the showdown supposed to be other than Pittsburgh sports mostly?
No, it's not. We do.
Then let's just do a regular thing,
Bob. We'll do a showdown. Let's do a showdown.
No, that'll be fine. If you have to add to it, you can, because I know you go deep. But I mean, we haven't talked about the Pirates all day. I got it. You ruined my entire day.
You're supposed to do stuff like Olympics and baseball.
Oh, Olympics. So you're going to talk about that. All right, we'll talk about soccer then, and flag football. We'll do all the things, and golf, which you love.
You bring up golf all the time.
And I do, because I want a variety of things.
What are we talking about?
It's supposed to be stuff other than Pittsburgh sports, because that ruins my topic.
Who gives a
crap? Well, how in the world can we stay away from Pittsburgh sports in a Pittsburgh-based show?
This is something for
you
off the air.
You stray all the time. You want to bring up golf.
Yeah, because I do for a variety's sake.
You two can figure it out off of the air, and then next week we'll do it whatever way that you figure out you want to do it. But how about we just do what Bob had planned so we can get on with our lives?
Because that's the problem. He didn't have anything planned.
Oh, yes, I
have. Okay.
Look at this nonsense.
Did I do the 50-minute mark yet?
Who knows? Who cares?
The 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Come join us down here at Acrisure Stadium. It's the Pittsburgh Public Schools Backpack Drive. A lot of people flowing through here. Gold Lot 1A. You want to make a donation, bring some cases of water, backpack, things like that can really help us. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 70 today with sunny skies. All right, Bob, go ahead and lead off your showdown. Take my Pirates topics. I'm okay with it. Go ahead.
No, you're the boss. It's called the Joe Show, which means I'm going to avoid all things Pittsburgh sports. We're now going national in every possible way.
I thought that was the way we were supposed to do it.
No.
Do you see where Tyreek Hill wants to race Noah Lyles? I suppose that's better than racing Noah Hiles, isn't it? Bob? Paul?
What the hell? I don't even know what we're talking about. What are we talking about now?
Who would you pick if Tyreek Hill raced Noah Lyles?
In what? Football?
No, the fast, you know, the fastest guy in the world, isn't he, Bob? Noah Lyles?
Yes. And Tyreek thinks he's faster.
Right.
That's a whole different kind of running.
Topic?
Nah, I'm not going to.
They're going to run a 50-yard dash.
What about if Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette somehow got involved in this?
Noah Lyles, or whatever his name is, will blow Tyreek Hill out of the water.
What about a 100-yard dash?
It will not even be, it would be even bigger blowout.
What? Do you agree with that, Bob?
No.
Bob doesn't agree. Go back at him.
Okay, let's just start here. Tyreek Hill has never in his life run as fast as Noah Howell's, like, fastest. No. Whatever the hell his name is. Noah Howell's is fastest, like, 25 times. Tyreek Hill has never run as fast as
any
of them.
You're right. And like I said, it's a different kind of running.
What would Lyles be as fast over 100 as he is over? Well, what do they race at the Olympics? And why do they measure 100, in meters, Bob?
100.
100 yards?
100 meters.
What's that in yards?
I don't know. It's like 120 yards or something, isn't it?
Oh, okay, then I take that back. Yeah, he'd kill him. Bob's showdown up next.
The longer the race would be, the worse it would be for Tyreek Hill. His best chance would be to race him in a 10 and trip him.
Well, I'm going to look something up here over the break to try to disprove Paul. Goodbye, Bob. How's everything back at the studio?
Everything's wonderful. I'm ready to go with what I have, and if we have to overlap, it's a different audience later in the show.
You're right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.